Nearly half of teens in the United States say they are online almost constantly, tapping, scrolling, swiping, some compulsively. Some even listen at twice the speed to avoid FOMO. Does this describe your child, and do you know what they are absorbing? This question is on the minds of many parents and educators who recently have watched Adolescence. And I want to add that Adolescence is for adults due to its content. It is a gut-wrenching Netflix drama centered around the Miller family, whose lives are forever changed when 13-year-old Jamie is arrested for the murder of a girl from his school.
It's the brilliant and disturbing four-part drama series that's become the most watched show on Netflix around the world over the weekend.
Yeah, they were talking about it on Lorraine, weren't they? We're talking about it today again. You're going to be talking about it everywhere you go. Adolescence is the series. It centres on a 13-year-old boy who has been accused of murdering a female classmate. It explores the haunting reality of murder, misogyny, and the danger of social media amongst young people today.
As Michael Hogan writes for his review in The Guardian, quote, "Adolescence lays bare how an outwardly normal but susceptible teenager can be radicalized without anyone noticing." His parents recall Jamie coming home from school, slamming his bedroom door, and spending hours at his computer. They thought he was safe. They thought they were doing the right thing, end quote. I'm Megan Murphy, Global Executive Director of the International Coalition of Girls' Schools, and this is On Educating Girls Shorts, an audio offering from the Coalition that provides practical tips and advice in a short, easily digestible format. Today, we turn to insights from previous podcast episodes and further afield to help educators, parents, and caregivers navigate tech and phone use with the children in their lives. How can adults best respond to these very real fears? Banning devices or social media completely seems maybe the simplest approach, but experts argue it is not the best. So what is? If you're a regular listener to our podcast, The Connected Girl, you know it's connection.
Somebody who's going to give their kid a phone, I think that they need to have this connection with the kid and say, like, hey, I'm here for you. If anything happens, I want you to tell me, right? Instead of the kid maybe seeing something on social media that they don't like or some cyberbullying happening and then the kid keeping it to themselves. So keeping a really good connection with that kid, as well as communicating things like screen time and age controls, which are really important. And those are features that are designed to help kids and parents navigate social media.
That was a voice note from a student at one of our member girls' schools, a very wise one, I might add. Because this technology is ubiquitous, it's not going away, and it can do good as well as harm.
A compelling report by Common Sense Media in 2023 tells us what we already knew. 98% of the teenage girls in the survey used social media daily, spending about 2 hours on average, specifically on YouTube, TikTok, Snapchat, and Instagram. I was drawn to the findings about how conflicted girls were about their relationship with social media. Nearly half mentioned the word addicted. They knew they often wasted time scrolling, but found social media to be essential for creative inspiration, relaxation, and connectivity. Frankly, they already know social media plays both positive and negative roles in their lives. Clearly, it is a powerful influencer, and we need to be proactive in how we help girls manage their connection to social media so that their social media use doesn't manage them or doesn't disconnect them from their real lives.
You've just heard the voice of Trudy Hall, the host of The Connected Girl, for that episode entitled Navigating Life Online. She speaks to an expert for advice. Laura Turney is the founder and CEO of The Social Institute. Laura worked with researchers, schools, and students to design an approach to really help young people navigate all of the possibilities of social media. Here's Laura.
I liken social media to giving students the keys to a car. And you can imagine if a student didn't go through driver's ed, you would see terrible consequences from students getting behind the wheel of a car and not having the education, right, to make positive choices on the road. And that is what's happening right now when parents, when educators, when schools are giving students, you know, school-issued devices or personal smartphones or tablets, and we're not huddling with our children about those important foundational skills that helps you prevent those feelings of anxiety, depression, and that list goes on and on. And so this is about empowering and equipping students rather than scaring and restricting them.
Laura mentions huddling. It's a term really borrowed from sports. What happens in a huddle? The team gets together, they strategize, they motivate, or they might celebrate. In this, listening is of the utmost importance. What does your child think about their phone use? How are they involved in the conversation as you work out the social media game plan for your family? The more that parents and educators listen and truly understand modern student experiences, the more we reinforce a positive loop of them feeling comfortable to come to you to talk. Laura Zappas, head of middle school at Castilea School in California and a mother, also urges balance, not bans, when it comes to tech. She writes in a recent blog article on our ICGS website that rather than banning screens, which is unrealistic, we should facilitate opportunities for mindfulness and really prioritize those face-to-face interactions at school. We must intentionally build in screen-free time and community activities in classrooms and during breaks when possible. And the same makes sense for home life. As we look at students on the precipice of their future, we might wonder if they will be able to safely steer their own course. Tyler Gaspich is the Director of Information Resources and Technologies at the Academy of Notre Dame de Mur near Philadelphia. He's a teacher and also a task force member studying AI with other school technology professionals. Here, he emphasizes the importance of girls actively shaping the future of technology and AI in particular when thinking about their studies.
It's still in its nascent stages, so get involved and influence how it is progressing, especially young women who have historically not been included in the conversation with technology for a myriad of reasons. Get involved with putting the weights on the algorithms. Get involved with understanding how the data is working through and be an active member of shaping what AI becomes while it is still really new.
If girls get to have their perspectives included in the development of technologies that will shape their lives, the world will be a much more innovative place. Speaking of perspective, are you wondering how to start a conversation on this topic? The Social Institute has 7 standards that it challenges students to live up to. Looking at these together could be a place to begin. For each one, we suggest a guiding question, which will also be in the show notes for you. Play to your core by reflecting your values, character, and interest in your actions. What are your values, and how can you live those out online? Protect your privacy like you're famous by staying in control of your own personal information. What could this mean for your bio and what you post? Strike a balance between your time and attention on technology with the people around you. What could this look like for you when you're with your friends and your family? Ever heard of the term cyberback? This means that you have each other's backs and you support each other. How could you stand up for those who need it? Find your influencers and surround yourself with positive role models and credible influences. What values do you share with the people you follow? Use your mic for good by amplifying your voice to create meaningful change. How can you speak up about things that matter to you? And lastly, handle the pressure well by finding your own path, no matter the pressure from others. How can you support yourself to be strong and resilient in the face of pressure? We are all still learning the benefits and the drawbacks of screens, but by involving girls in the conversation and building in some empowering practices, we can create a future where students can become more self-aware and connected online and in their lives. Thank you so much for tuning into On Educating Girls Shorts series. If you like this, you'll love the full episodes of our podcast, where listeners are offered resources and language and tips and programs for educating and empowering young women by those who educate, work with, and understand girls best. If you're a regular listener, please help others see this content by sharing this content, leaving a comment or a 5-star review. For more information on the International Coalition of Girls' Schools, visit us at girlschools.org.